Tango Tango Papa 2103, January 28th, 2022.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from home. So I have been home since, let's see, so today was Friday. I've got home Wednesday afternoon, kind of early in the afternoon, made it home. And so I will be off until, I believe Tuesday is, go back to work on Tuesday. So 5 days, five complete days off, back to work on Tuesday, and, so just doing the time off thing right now. So, it's actually been kind of cold since I've been home. There was snow while I was gone, but all of the snow is, it's kind of long gone. It's kind of long gone, but the weather is kind of chilly. So it was fairly windy today, and even though it did get up above freezing, it remained fairly windy, and it was kind of a cold day. So, and then this evening right now, it's 23 degrees according here to the computer. It says 23 and clear, so. And I think maybe, I'm not sure, I think the low is supposed to get maybe like down to 19 or something like that. And, so that's just the weather's the weather, and it just does whatever it does. So I'm not sure if it's supposed to warm up at all or not. Let's see here. It's been a while since I looked at the weather forecast. Let's see, 10 days. Okay, so today, I guess the high today was 40. Guess the low is going to be 21 is what this says. And then tomorrow, 55 for the high. Low of 30. Sunday, 59. 35 for the low. 62 on Monday. That's the day before I go back to work. So 62 on Monday, and then 47 for the low, and then 57 with rain on Tuesday. So supposedly it's going to warm up, and depends kind of on, the level of humidity plus the wind. Because if, the temperature itself, whatever the actual temperature, the mercury temperature is, doesn't always tell the story, because sometimes you can have a temperature and it feels warm for whatever that temperature is, or what you'd think your impression would be of it. But, and then sometimes it's the other way around. They'll say, well, this is the temperature, but it's kind of cold. So today was sort of bitterly cold to an extent. I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time outdoors, I can tell you that. Of course, I'm complaining, but, it's not Iowa, and it's not, this isn't Minnesota, so we have a tendency to kind of run around like it's summertime sometime, or spring anyway. And, because on a 60 degree day with sunshine and no wind, you can kind of get away with that. But when the temperature's in the 30s and the wind's kind of blowing pretty good, and kind of a different story. So anyway, I've been just kind of doing the things that I do while I'm home. I did, while I was off for vacation, I had ordered battery. I had I have an old Sony digital camcorder that I've had for quite a number of years, and it was HD. It was 1080i, and I think I probably bought it maybe 2004-ish, something like that. And it's been some time since I actually last used it, and so I dug it out while I was home and found out that the battery was kind of no good. But so in the meantime, I ordered it was kind of an inexpensive battery off of Amazon for it, and that was pretty easy. So the battery came, and so I tried plugging it in, and I've got, and it charged the battery up. It was a kind of a thing where you have the battery in the back of the camcorder, and you plug the power brick into the wall and then the other end into the camcorder, and so it charged the battery up just fine. And the camera would come on, but then I found out, and I should have probably... before I ordered another battery, I probably should, because it would run on AC power. Probably should have tried to eject the cassette mechanism, because then at first the cassette, the digital cassettes wouldn't eject. And then, finally the cassette ejected, but then it wouldn't, I was able to, okay, there's the little digital cassette. And so I tried to put it back in there, and... it won't lock in, and it's got that particular camcorder. You click it back in, and then it has this motorized thing that kind of brings the tape down and puts it into the into the mechanism. So you can close the door, and so apparently. I'm guessing there's probably a plastic part in there that deteriorated over time, and it probably has something to do with the clip or something that clips it in there. Something, because it's kind of a delicate mechanism. And so over time, the thing just sat, and it, but it would have probably worn out anyway if it just wearing out setting. If let's say it was a piece of plastic or something that broke, then it would have broken anyway, whether I was using it or not. So anyway, that and it's probably the thing isn't worth repairing. So how I am with cameras, I thought, well, I need another camera. I'd like to have a camcorder. And so I started looking, and there's still some camcorders for sale. Now they're all MP4 type. There's no more tape, obviously. And you can get various levels. You have some that are 4K and some that are just 1080p. And so there happened to be, I guess, a Sony. At Best Buy, it's a CX. I ended up buying one, of course. It's a CX 405. And let's see if we can get it here in front of the camera. So it's just a little, kind of a light little thing. And maybe it weighs 7 ounces, I think is what they said. It's got the, like a built-in shutter. Got the built-in shutter, and then it's the style of thing where you open up the door, and then it automatically comes on. I don't have an SD card in it at the moment, but anyway, you close that and shuts it back off. And so it's it's very simple. It's got a telephoto and a wide. You can take still shots with it. It's a 30x optical zoom and 60x digital zoom. And the one thing that's kind of impressive, it has pretty decent video. I'll show you a little video clip if I can get it to pop up properly. But I'll show you a video clip here in a second. But the thing that's so impressive is the fact that it's got an optical video stabilization. You know, and this thing, you know, it's $229. You know, and so and the optical video stabilization is actually pretty amazing. It works exceptionally well. Because I've had, you know, that old Sony camcorder had, you know, it had I don't know if it was optical. It was probably an optical stabilization, but so I'm not sure. I think it was, but I don't recall it working. I've got something in my eye. There we go. I don't recall it working quite that well, but this seems to work really well. You can kind of stick the thing on a, you know, like one of them little, you know, what like a little short tripod or a stick, and it's got a wide angle when you're zoomed all the way out. It's got a pretty wide angle view. And, you know, you can kind of mount that thing on a stick or on one of those short little tripods and kind of hold that thing out in front of you and kind of walk along. And it remains, I was watching videos on it or, you know, where people were talking about it on YouTube, and it was remaining really stable, almost as if they had a gimbal, one of those automated gimbals that, you know, you have to charge them up, and then they've got a little motor thing that kind of keeps everything steady. And this optical image stabilization works pretty well. Now, it is lacking a headphone jack, and it's also lacking a microphone input. But, you know, I don't think I really need that, because I'm really not using it that way. And if I really want a microphone input, I can do that with my phone as well. Because the phone does have superior video recording capability. Although the phone doesn't have any kind of optical zoom. So, and I didn't really want to spend a whole lot more money for 4K capability. I just wanted something that, you know, this thing is small enough. You can kind of stick it in your pocket, you know, and it easily fit into a coat pocket or whatever. And you know, it's just so small and light, and it does produce decent video. Record it, and you know, just get practice recording it, because otherwise, you know, I think there's something to be said for, you know, just doing activities, and you get better at them. So I think that would just be a good exercise to just kind of bring that along and just, and it's easy. I mean, the thing is so tiny and light that, you know, it's just compared to that DV camcorder. You know, that thing had some heft to it, even though it was light, you know, in comparison to, because, you know, way back when I had a VHS camcorder, you know, the big one, you know, that you kind of hold up on your shoulder, you know, and that thing was, by comparison, that was kind of a monstrosity, you know. So, and of course, you know, everything's miniaturized now, and there's virtually no moving parts. I'd say the only moving parts on this are I guess you could technically say the little click buttons are moving, and then the door opens where the screen is. And then you have the switch up on the front, you know, the built-in lens cover. And the other neat thing about this camcorder is that it has this USB. If you're watching the video, if I can get this moved in the right position here, it's got this USB cord that you see right there, and so that's just stored in the little carry strap, and so this just stays wired in. And it came with a USB adapter, and so you just plug, and it came also with a little USB power brick, and so you just plug that into the USB. Is basically a USB extension cord, and plug that into USB source and you charge the thing up. And so that's pretty slick, because that means that, you know, you don't necessarily have to, you don't have to have the Sony power brick, because it's just a little standard USB power brick. You can use any USB source to charge it with. So that's pretty clever. And it does have it. It did come with a little battery. And, I thought about, I could easily buy a second battery for it, but I don't foresee myself using it that much to the point where I'm going to, run out of battery and then wish I had another battery that was charged, where I'd have to swap it out. Because typically what I would do is just kind of play with it and, before it ran out, recharge it. But I do want to just, like I say, just start making videos, just even if I have no intention of doing anything with them, making videos and taking pictures with it, just because. I think that's a good idea. So, and sometimes doing that, you end up with maybe a nice little piece of video and or, some extra pictures that otherwise probably wouldn't have taken. So, in any case, that's kind of a neat little camcorder for $229. Because like I say, I've spent plenty on other camcorders in the past. Of course, the technology's evolved greatly. Now, I do have, I had more than I actually realized. I had, the 24 VHS tapes that I recorded way back when with the big, massive VHS camcorder back in the day. And then I think I had called a Hi8, and then there may have been a Digital 8. And then I went to the DV. And I actually was making tapes, still making like family recordings with those other tapes, and I didn't realize I had as many as I did. So I think altogether I've got something like 11 tapes that... a good chunk of them, I'd say more than half of them, are either Hi8 or Digital 8, and I have no way of playing them anymore. How can I play them back? I can't. So there's a service I found on Amazon. There's probably more than one, but anyway, this one, they charge you it ends up being about $9 for the first. A tape, and then if you have additional ones, and they charge you like $5 a piece. So what they do, if the tape is playable, they'll only charge you if the tape is playable. But if it's playable, then they capture it into an MP4, and then they make that available for you to download. And I signed up for they'll send me the initial, basically it's a box to mail the tape to them with. So I will, my intention is to do that and capture whatever's on those tapes, digitize it, and then, pay them to digitize it. Because I don't know what's on there anymore. On those tapes, I labeled some of them, and it's just kind of like family stuff. But I don't remember what. There's no telling what's on there now. I probably, after I watch some of the video, then obviously I'll remember what it was and remember recording it. But as of right now, I have no clue. So, but it'll be kind of nice to find out. If the tapes will still play, if there's anything on there that they can capture, and then it's available, and I don't really need the tapes back for any reason, because they're rather useless. to me at this point, because I, you know, I don't have any functioning equipment that can play that stuff back, so there's really no point in having the tapes. So they can just keep, they will ship the tapes back to you if you want to, but, you know, it's going to be at your expense, and I really don't care. So, we'll, you know, probably do that, do that the next time I'm home. So, anyway, so I printed myself off a little list of things that, you know, that I've kind of been thinking about, and, one of the things, you know, there's a, I forget the guy's name, he had written an article, and it was about, you know, something that, you know, I know I'd thought about this before, kind of not in the same way as this guy did, but this guy wrote this article about the topic of, and he called it luxury thinking. Luxury thinking. What is luxury thinking? You might ask. Well, it's essentially how spoiled people think. You know, let's say you're a spoiled child, or you're a spoiled adult. How do you think? Well, your thinking is obviously because your perception. What do we mean by even spoiled? Spoiled. What does that mean? We all think, you know, we think we know what that means. But when you spoil something, you know, let's say it's food that's spoiled, it's kind of, you know, becomes rotten, it starts to stink, and you know, it's toxic, potentially lethal. Certainly it can make you sick at the very, you know, and if at the very least, if it's, you know, if it's very spoiled. And so when you spoil something, you're sort of thwarting its potential. You can, that's one way of thinking about it. Something that has been spoiled, let's say it's a person or child, if they've been spoiled, then somehow their potential has been thwarted. And so what happens, how does that happen with a human being? Well, if you know, as human beings, we are really, as I've talked about before, we're really reliant on our perceptions, our ability to perceive the world. Because that's one of the primary functions of a human being. And so, let's see here. I'm distracting myself. Sorry about this. Well, I better quit that. One of our main functions as human beings is you know, we perceive the world. You know, a primary function. You know, we're aware of our surroundings. We're aware of our own existence. We are aware that we're aware. You know, and if we're, you know, unless you distract yourself, then, you know, I end up certainly thinking about, you know, how should I behave in the world? What's the proper way of behaving in the world? What, you know, what is the right thing to do? How, you know, should I do this? Should I do that? How, you know, how did I react here? How did I react there? What's the proper way to exist in the world? What's the proper way to interact with other people? And so we have to come to a sort of functional, you know, things that are actually functional, But at the same time, we also need to follow some ethical guidelines. So there are a number of different constraints on that, but we have to have ethics, and then we have to be able to function in the world successfully with those ethics, etc. So there, and then we sort of build functional models of the world, and we're able to perceive the world, but that's based on our value system, and whether it's something that we physically value, let's say it's a chair or a computer or a desk or a car or whatever it is, we put a value on it, we're able to recognize it. And so the same thing is true with non-physical items, such as thoughts, concepts, things like ethics. You kind of go down the line. The system works kind of the same way, but we have to. You can think of it as a triage type situation. We have to sort of triage things. And so that's hard enough in and of itself, but then if you throw in, you end up throwing in, and that's before you even throw in any kind of dysfunction. So you throw in dysfunction. You throw dysfunction in because we're dysfunctional human beings. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. So we make mistakes, but then our parents they're also flawed as well. So then you got a real problem because they'll end up actively, not doing right by the child one way or another to varying degrees. And then plus the child, we have this proclivity as human beings to want to play God in our own minds. That's alone and apart from the fact that our parents are flawed. And we have a tendency to resent. Because, that's how we play God in our own minds. So we end up kind of becoming spoiled. Or we end up with a sort of a thwarted potential. This potential has been thwarted in, let's say, various ways, a number of different ways, to varying degrees. So and let's say you got to sort of end up with a sort of faulty value system. So then you begin to latch on because you got a faulty value system. Then it becomes much more difficult, or maybe even let's say much more difficult would be a good way of saying it, or maybe I started to say impossible, but certainly and maybe impossible. You could say that if you got the wrong value set to. Build functional models of the world so that you can function successfully in the world. So, you become spoiled. So your value system can become spoiled, and then your ability to perceive, because the value system, perception is based on a functioning value system. The value system is screwed up, then your perceptions are going to be screwed up. As your perceptions, your ability to successfully perceive, depends on what you value. Literally, it depends on that. So then you can end up believing wrong things and actually not seeing things that are right in front of you because you don't put any value on them. And so there's plenty of examples of that. I can give you one right now, and some of you may not like this. I think the election, the 2016 or the 2020 election, was stolen. The presidential election. Trump won, but they had the votes, that they pulled out from underneath the thing. There was video proving it, and people couldn't see it. The people in charge just they couldn't see it, wouldn't see it, didn't want to challenge it. There was example after example after example of election fraud, people that were testifying, that were willing to testify. Well, that doesn't matter. Too bad. It's over. Get over it. Biden won. No, he didn't. So here is a clear-cut case of fraud right out in the open, and people couldn't see it because they didn't put any, they had the wrong value set. And that's what happens. So what's luxury thinking? What this guy was talking about, the idea of luxury thinking, was that, let's say that you have the spoiled brat that's 30 years old, or, 20, 30 years old, still living at home in mommy and daddy's basement. Maybe they got a job, maybe they don't. Maybe they're professional Black Lives Matters organizers. In other words, they're sort of socialists, and somebody else is supporting them. They want socialism. They think that the socialists, they're going to have some kind of socialist utopia, have the communist revolution, and have, we're going to be in utopia. The utopia is just going to magically emerge, which is, it doesn't. What emerges is hell. But so they have but then you have the people, the really pampered ones at the top that are going to Harvard and Yale, and they end up with the really cushy jobs and with the high salaries and what have you. And they, those type of people. And here they are, but it could also be a lot of the college students, they're still being supported. And so they have their thoughts, and they'll argue, well, this it's going to be better, and socialism's great, and it's just so wonderful. But then when they also have the idea, and this goes back, let's say back into the 60s, they had this idea that, marriage is so hard. It's so hard for people to get married, and people that are in unhappy marriages, are just miserable, and they make their children miserable. And so we just, so they start poo-pooing the idea of marriage. Well, what the problem is that people in the lower classes, for whatever reason, and I think I know what the reason is, but for whatever reason, they have a tendency to put these so-called upper-class people, the elite, put them up on a pedestal. And that's a real thing that human beings do, put these certain people up on pedestals. And so then what they say and what they think, end up profoundly affecting people, because then, because otherwise, what should be promoted is just straight morality. Marriages should last as long as possible. If you're going to have kids, work your own damn problems out and stick it out, because it's not the kids' fault that you brought them into the world, et cetera, et cetera. But people think, oh, well, that's too harsh. Well, but they have these ideas, but what do they do themselves? These people that have these ideas, the really elite ones end up, what do? They end up getting married. So you look at the demographics, and you look at the demographics of the people that are really up on the high end. Most of them are married. The majority of them have gotten married. Now, you can always bring up exceptions where they're unhappy or whatever, but the majority of them, if you look at the demographic as an aggregate, the majority of them, and I'm talking about the kind of the elites that are sort of running things, they're married. And, you know, they're in monogamous relationships, and they have their kids and what have you, and they're putting their kids in private schools, and they're not sending them to public school, and you know, they're sending them to private school. You know, you think the people that are, a lot of the people that are at Facebook, do you especially the people that own it, do you think that they're sending their kids, you know, they're allowing their kids to have iPads and iPhones and what have you? You know, Steve Jobs is famous for not allowing his own children to have iPads and iPhones. You know, and a lot of the people that are working in those social media companies won't allow their own children to go anywhere near the product. You know, it's kind of like a drug dealer making sure that he doesn't use his own product or his family doesn't use the product. You know, but it's okay to addict a bunch of people. And now the problem, just the marriage thing by itself, or abortion is another one. Abortion is another one. You know, you just touch those things. If you're on the low end of the totem pole, let's say that you're sort of on the low end of the socioeconomic ladder, and you're a female, and you think, you know, and you end up getting pregnant outside of marriage, you're in big trouble. You know, you're in really big trouble, and then if you get an abortion, you're just adding fire, jumping from the frying pan right into the flames. Because that's a terrible mistake to, you know, get a, you know, you ask someone, you know, some, you know, women that have had abortions, and if they have any sense at all, they'll realize that was a terrible mistake because they killed their own child. You know, just imagine the guilt of that, killing your own child. Just because you couldn't see it doesn't mean you didn't kill it. Just because you couldn't see it doesn't mean that you paid someone to prevent a human being from coming into the world. You know, so there's a tremendous, you know, so you violate moral principles. Not because the principles are there to hold you back and keep you away from pleasure or whatever. If you violate moral principles, you're hurting yourself. You're not, you know, the moral principles aren't there just to keep you from, you know, pleasuring yourself. You know, because I think that's what a lot of people think. They think that moral principles are there just so that, you know, to keep them keep them in line and keep them from having pleasure. That's not it. The moral principles are there to restrain you, to keep you from really damaging yourself. So these people that have these goofy ideas about, well, we'll do away with marriage and we're going to restructure the society and we're going to program utopia, there, you know, they find out pretty quick that it doesn't work. So they end up, doesn't hurt them. They're in their gated communities. And then, but the people at the bottom that look up, that end up looking up to them and following their stupid ideas, get burned badly. Now, I think the reason that lower class people tend to look up to certain types of people, especially people in the media and then people, you know, the politicians and what have you, and, you know, and certain other people. I think the reason that they do is because they're worshiping them. You know, that's all it is. It's plain and simple. They put them on a pedestal. They're putting them on a, you know, sort of, they're elevating them on a pedestal in their own minds, and then they worship them, you know, and it's really rather ridiculous. You know, and then people have this, you know, kind of have a starstruck reaction. It's really a strange thing. But they'll end up thinking that there's really something special about what this person says or what they think. Why do you think that, you know, that you get the tabloids? You know, you're in a supermarket, you're in a checkout line at a Walmart or wherever it is, supermarket or where, you know, and you got some kind of National Enquirer or whatever. that's there in the line while you're waiting. And, you know, it's got Prince Harry and it's got, you know, this celebrity and that celebrity. Why the hell do you even care? You know, I get emails. I get all kinds of, you know, emails from, you know, especially like British newspapers are the worst. And, you know, and they've got, like, Meghan did this, and, you know, the Queen did that, and it's just, who cares? That stuff must sell. It gets attention. It certainly does get attention. It shouldn't. That's just the fact that it gets attention tells me that people have mixed priorities. And it basically goes back to the same old thing. You know, people are looking for distractions. And the, you know, the wrong things, people are distracted by the wrong things. You shouldn't be, you shouldn't, you know, some distractions are probably innocuous, but at the same time, they can really get you into trouble too. Because you think, oh, it's innocuous, I'm reading my National Enquirer. Well, it you know, it can end up affecting your thinking and your behavior and your values, you know. And so there's a lot of people that are absolutely damaged. So that, but I thought that was an interesting thing, you know, luxury thinking, you know, kind of they, you know, they're kind of spoiled and they, you know, they, you know, they're not. They'll continue to live in their gated communities and not really be affected by the havoc that their luxurious ideas, their stupid ideas, end up wreaking, you know, on lower classes of people. So anyway, how long have we been going here? Well, another thing that I was thinking about, well, you know, I've, you know, you had this idea, you know, the idea of, you know, abundance, and there's a problem with abundance, and it kind of ties in with what I was just talking about, to, you know, in a way. But the problem with abundance, let's say that you have an abundance of whatever it is. It could be, you know, it could be for a corporation, it could be an abundance of employees. Or it could be, you know, like for people, it could be an abundance of whatever it is. Or let's say you're a spoiled child, it could be an abundance of spoiling. What ends up happening is that people have a tendency, you know, in the face of being spoiled, in the face of having an overriding abundance, people can end up doing stupid things. Now, corporations, I can give you an example, you know, like with Walmart. Not to really pick on Walmart, but there is a really good example. A number of years ago, they, you know, Walmart, you know, they always had their own trucking. It was basically they had their own trucking company, you know, their own drivers delivering the stuff. And then at some point they decided, well, we want to get out of the, we'd love to get out of the logistics business and just concentrate on what we're good at, you know, retail. And so then they began to farm out, even though they kept their own trucking fleet. To a large extent, they began to farm it out because I think they didn't want to deal with it. You know, it's hard to hire drivers, and it has been for many years. There's been a shortage of drivers for years and years, and so then they decided, well, we'll just farm this out, and it'll be these other third-party companies, trucking companies, that can deal with this. So now, you know, the driver shortage has gotten worse than ever. And so what, you know, now they've, I guess sometime back here, they decided, well, we're gonna hire drivers ourselves again. We're going to, you know, move back into that business. And of course, they're, you go to every Walmart distribution center I go to, they've got hiring, we're hiring drivers signs. They've got that plastered all over their trucks as well, the backs of their trucks. You know, so it wasn't such a good idea to, I don't know if they actually got rid of any drivers. I doubt that they fired any, but they may have, you know, when they decided that they were going to try to get out of the trucking business. But they probably never really made an effort to retain those people either. You know, because companies that retained their employees, you know, and this is, you know, like with this COVID thing, companies that kept their employees, kept them, you know, even if they didn't have much for them to do, if they kept them and they were able to keep them, you know, they stayed. You know, and they're much less likely to have a problem hiring people, you know, at finding people. But the ones that, you know, they just got rid of them at the drop of a hat because, well, we don't have any business, nothing for you to do. I'm going to have to get rid of you. Well, they're finding that it's really difficult to try to get those people to come back, especially the retiree type people. People my age not coming back. And then of course I've talked about this before, you've had the baby boomers were sort of covering up the fact that there's a dearth of new younger employees, because let's face it, there's a good 40 million people that would be working age right now that aren't, because they were aborted. Sorry that here's the reality, and maybe you don't want to see it. You know, and you start coming up with all kinds of excuses about unwanted whatever. But there's a good 40 million right in the United States that would be working age and working right now, but they didn't even have a chance to exist, to come into the world. So, you know, to a large extent, America sort of ended up aborting its own labor force. So we better hope, you know, people complain about, well, the foreign workers are going to come in and take the job. We damn well better hope they do. You know, I hope that they do. You know, I'm not going to be able to work forever. And I'd still like to be able to go to the store and, you know, buy this and that. And who's going to do it? You know? So hopefully the foreign, you know, there's going to be enough foreign workers that actually come in and sort of take over those jobs. Especially the ones that, you know, the lazy bums that are living in mommy and daddy's basement, they see those jobs as beneath them. Hopefully there'll be people that'll come in and take those jobs. So, in the presence of abundance, people do stupid things. There's a tendency for people to do just really foolish things. And that's, you know, it's in corporations, but it's also in, you know, everyday lives. You know, when you have an abundance of whatever it is, you think, oh, it's going to last forever. Well, it doesn't. Nothing does. Nothing lasts forever. So, anyhow, I think I'm going to go ahead and bring this to a close. Hope everyone has had a great week. Hope you have a great weekend. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.